All right, as we have become our own church here recently, I thought it would be good to preach a series through what we believe, what's our mission, what's our statement of faith, and in the middle of all that, just touch on what does church leadership look like, and also church membership. So today we're going to be looking at church membership. Now here is a picture of still of a commercial. Have you guys seen this commercial? Capital One. They're trying to get you to get this. Yeah, get you to get their credit card, and they ask this question at the end: what's in your wallet? So I thought we'd play that game today and look what's in my wallet. Okay, at least some of it. All right. So what do we got here? What's this? Library card. Okay. What does this mean? I can go to the St. Paul Public Libraries, right? And what are the benefits of having this card? I get to go and get, I can pick out thousands of books, right? Movies, DVDs, all sorts of stuff with this library card, because this defines me as a St. Paul Library member, right? There's benefits to having this that I couldn't have if I lived in a different city. Let's see what else I got here.
Somebody should be helping
you
take it all off.
Yeah? What's this? Costco, right? What does this define me as? A member of what? Costco, right? What are some of the benefits of being a member to Costco? The best thing? The best thing. $4.99 chicken, right? Rotisserie chicken. Yes, cheap gas. So, again, there's benefits to being a member somewhere. Can I go to Sam's Club and use this card?
No.
No, you have to be a member of Sam's Club then, right? Let's see what else. I got one more thing I wanted to look at. This is the only credit card I own, and I only use it when I fly, but this is a Delta SkyMiles card. So when I fly somewhere, I use this. And the benefits to this, I can earn points, mileage points, towards other flights, and I can get my first check bag for free. So there's benefits to being a member of things, isn't there? And we're going to be looking at that a little bit today. What are the benefits to being a member? We all see the importance of membership. Is there importance in church membership? Before we go into that, I wanted to look at some verses as a whole. What does it mean to belong to the body of Christ? Well, Peter writes to the churches, he says, "You are a chosen race, a royal priesthood, a holy nation, a people for his own possession, that you may proclaim the excellencies of him who called you out of darkness and into his marvelous light. Once you were not a people, but now you are God's people. Once you had not received mercy, but now you have received mercy." What God did was save a people for a purpose. And what's that purpose? To be holy. To reflect his image and proclaim what he has done in the earth. They are supposed to live the way that he designed them to live. To be holy. This is what it means to be in the body of Christ, to be a holy people. Jesus also prays. We looked at this a few weeks ago. In John 17, Jesus prays for his followers, and he says, "The glory that you have given me, I have given to them, that they may be one, even as we are one. I in them, and you in me, that they may become perfectly one, so that the world may know that you sent me and love them even as you love me. Father, I desire that they also, whom you have given me, may be with me where I am, to see my glory that you have given me, because you loved me before the foundation of the world." What Jesus is praying is that his people would be one, just as Jesus is one with the Father. There is this community between God the Father, God the Son, and God the Holy Spirit. And God's people are to reflect the love and community and the membership that we see within the Trinity. All believers everywhere make up the church, the body of Christ. Okay? But individual churches are important. And we're going to get into that a little bit more later. Membership in a local church is vital in following Jesus. And some people are afraid of church membership or are unsure of this. We see this all the time. And I got two examples here. And why might we be afraid of church membership? Reason number one, independence and self-reliance. Okay, you're probably wondering about this picture. I have a story behind this picture. And for those of you on Facebook, you might have saw this a few weeks ago. When Leanne was gone, I was taking care of the four children myself. And I was doing something semi-important one evening, getting something ready, and all of a sudden I hear this screaming upstairs. I'm not going to embarrass you, child, whoever it is that did this, but someone clogged the toilet upstairs and proceeded to plunge it themselves. And I hear screaming because it's getting messy, right? The water's just coming up over the toilet upstairs. So I go up there. And I try to get it in order, and then all of a sudden I hear something downstairs, and I go downstairs, and there had been enough water overflowing the toilet upstairs. It was coming through the ceiling on the main floor onto the main, you know. So I'm like, wow, this, when someone was trying to be independent, which I give them credit for trying to fix the problem that they caused, but it just goes to show a lot of times when we try to do things on by ourselves, things can get messy pretty quickly, can it? So if we all think about our spiritual walk, have there been times in our spiritual walks where we tried to do things on our own, we tried to make it on our own, thinking we can fix the problem ourselves, and we realize, wow, there's a lot of filth around me all of a sudden. Where did this come from? It's because we're trying to do it independently. Another reason we might be afraid of church membership, indecisiveness and discontentment. We see this all the time in our society now, don't we? This is a picture of deodorants. You ever go into a Walmart or another store and you have to get deodorant and all of a sudden you see like 284 different deodorants? Like, which one do I choose? I'm not sure. I like the grip on this one. I like the smell of this one. And I like how this one lasts. Which one should I get? I don't know. We see this all the time, people hopping to church, to church, to church. I like the worship music here. I like this teacher here. I like how these people greet me here. People have a hard time committing to one church and staying there. I've been guilty of this in my past. I know when Leanne and I first got married, I think we tried out three or four different churches in one city. And I look back now and see how sinful that was, that I didn't commit to a body and say, warts and all, I'm sticking with you and we're going to make this. We're very indecisive and discontent in many areas of our life, but we especially see it in churches. Okay, let's turn to 1 Corinthians 12. We're going to read this text together. And I'm just going to read verses 12 through 26. This is Paul writing to the church in Corinth. And he uses a helpful analogy here that we're going to talk a little bit about. So 1 Corinthians 12:12, "For just as the body is one and has many members, and all the members of the body, though many, are one body, so it is with Christ. For in one spirit we were all baptized into one body, Jews or Greeks, slaves or free, and all were made to drink of one spirit. For the body does not consist of one member, but of many. If the foot should say, 'Because I am not a hand, I do not belong to the body,' that would not make it any less a part of the body. And if the ear should say, 'Because I am not an eye, I do not belong to the body,' that would not make it any less a part of the body. If the whole body were an eye, where would be the sense of hearing? If the whole body were an ear, where would be the sense of smell? But as it is, God arranged the members in the body, each one of them, as he chose. If all were a single member, where would the body be? As it is, there are many parts, yet one body. The eye cannot say to the hand, 'I have no need of you,' nor again the head to the feet, I have no need of you. On the contrary, the parts of the body that seem to be weaker are indispensable, and on those parts of the body that we think less honorable, we bestow the greater honor. And our unpresentable parts are treated with greater modesty, which our more presentable parts do not require. But God has so composed the body, giving greater honor to the part that lacked it, that there may be no division in the body, but that the members may have the same care for one another. If one member suffers, all suffer together. If one member is honored, all rejoice together. So I wanted the kids to really understand what's going on here. This is a lot of talk back and forth, and I thought maybe the best way to do this is with Mr. Potato Head. Can everyone see this? Now we got the body here, but the body's not complete, right? The potato. So we're gonna put legs on it. Well, this is at an angle, so I don't know if this is going to work. But can you guys see this? There. Does that work? All right. So if we do that, let's see what else we can put on here. Now, what if it looks... Oh, I'm dropping it. Actually, we'll do... What if the body looked like that? This is a silly example, right? It's Mr. Potato Head. You can do whatever you want. But that doesn't look right if we want it to look like a person, does it? It's all arms, pretty much, right? How can it see? It can't, right? It can do a lot of things, pick things up and walk around, but it can't see. It can't hear. Okay, so let's just change things up a little bit here. What if... What if we do that? That's silly, isn't it? We got three sets of eyes. And the eyes are saying, well, we don't need a nose or ears. Again, it can't smell, it can't hear. It can see things, it can pick some things up. But this doesn't seem right, does it? What if it looks like, what if it looks like that? Now, I was having a hard time finding all the parts to Mr. Potato Head because they weren't in the right bin, kids. But as we can see, I did find two mouths, okay? But now it can't see, it can't smell, can only hear on one side. Are you seeing what the problem is here?
Yeah.
What do we need?
We need a mouth, a nose, and two pairs of ears, two pairs of arms.
Yeah, we need all that in order to make the complete body, don't we? It's the same. Think about this, though. It's the same thing with the church. Every person here has a different gift. Some people are really good at speaking. Some people are really good at listening to others. Some people are the hands. They're really good at serving. Mr. Lancaster just came over to our house this week and helped us with the bushes, didn't he? He helped us haul them away. It's something I can't do by myself. And it was just an example for our children to see the body working. Here we have a man who's willing to come serve us in a way that I can't do it myself. And this happens all the time in churches, or it should. We all come here with different gifts, and we all make up one body. Okay, this is why it's important to be a member of a local church. You actually see all these gifts, these parts of the body in action. So if you just say, well, I'm just a Christian, I don't belong to any church. Well, you don't get the joy of seeing the body actually in action. Does this make sense? So when we're a part of a local church, we get to see these things. We get to experience the joy of these things. We get to experience the joy of being one of those parts and helping the body do what it's supposed to do. Every member has a function. Each member works together to benefit the entire body, and each member is precious. That's what Paul's saying here. There's parts of your body that you even cover up more because they're that much more precious to make the body work and do what it's supposed to do. Okay? So as we move forward, what I did the last, what has it been, 4 weeks, I've been pulling things out of our church documents and putting them up here. The section on church membership, and there's different reasons for this. Legally, we have to have certain things the way they are. But for the sake of going through this in the message, I have made it into bullet points for us just to kind of look at what is the general idea here so we don't have to read a bunch of legal language. So as we move forward, it's made in bullet point fashion. You guys all have this document emailed to you. But section one, the definition of Cornerstone Church St. Paul membership. Each person needs to be recognized as a member of Christ, a member of the church as a whole. We believe, we profess faith in Jesus Christ. To be a member here, you need to be assimilated into the church life for 6 months. Okay, we're going to get more into this, but the reason we don't say, oh, you've come once, you're a member, we want the church to be able to be that net around you that says, no, we've watched this person for a while, and we know, we have seen in their life that their life reflects belief and faith and obedience in Jesus Christ. So 6 months kind of gives us a time period where we can say, we've walked with this person for a while, and we can say, yes, I'm affirming their faith in Jesus. Members will be publicly recognized by the elders. Okay? So as we continue to grow and get new people here, they've been here a while, the elders will stand up here and say, we've seen these people, and we can affirm their faith in Christ. Best we can tell, we can affirm their faith in Christ, and we're recognizing them before the church as members of our body. Members will have voting privileges on decision-making that requires a broader base. Voting members must be 18 or older and not under church discipline. We'll get more into that, but it's just, we don't need kids voting on things. We need them to be adults and know what's going on. Underage members will be recognized, but they cannot have voting privileges. The privileges of church membership. Membership in Cornerstone Church identifies a person as a Christ-committed follower. Again, this isn't just being part of a club like Costco or the library. This is saying, no, we are recognizing as a church this person's faith, best we can tell, reflects faith, true faith in Jesus Christ. It provides a spiritual family to support and encourage a person in a walk with Christ. Okay? We see this all the time, don't we, in society. People want to belong to something. You talk to someone, what identifies you as you? And a lot of times people will say it's this or this. Everyone has this thing deep within them that wants to belong. The church provides a spiritual family to support and encourage you in a walk with Jesus. It places a person under the spiritual protection and guidance of Christ-centered leaders. We talked about this last week, right? The leaders of the church are supposed to be shepherds. They're supposed to be watching. How can I best serve you to make it? I notice sin in your life. I'm going to discipline you in a loving way to bring you back to repentance. I see where you're going to thrive serving the church in this way. Let me help you get there. Okay? It gives the person the accountability needed to grow. And it gives the person the privilege of voting on church matters if of legal voting age. The general procedure. The elders will initiate membership. If we have someone coming here for a while, after 6 months, maybe it could be longer. Everyone's different, right? But we will say to you, have you considered joining our church? I think we're at a place where we can affirm your faith here. There will be opportunity provided to recognize new members into our church. What we want to do is celebrate this. We're celebrating, recognizing what Jesus is doing in someone's life and them being a part of our church. We'll have them stand up here and we'll present them before you and say, we are recognizing these people as being a part of us. This is our family. This is our local body. And we want you to know that. Those considered will have given sufficient evidence of their faith in Jesus Christ, their desire to commit to the life and mission of Cornerstone Church, and their affirmation of the church's statement of faith. This is important, isn't it? We want to be unified in how we do things. And if there's another church that you find best suits your beliefs or your practices or whatever, that's fine. We're doing this. We have given you a statement of faith, And we're saying, if you want to be a part of us, if you believe in these things just as we do, in unity, we want to move forward in mission together and do this together. And the elders will keep record of current membership. Section 4, instruction to new members. This is moving forward, okay? New members will be required to take a membership class so they understand our history, mission statement, and statement of faith. This is important. We need to, if people are going to be part of us, they need to know who we are and what we're doing. Okay? So, it's not going to be a long class that goes on for months and months. It's just going to be an introduction. This is who we are. This is what we believe. Think about this. Pray about this. And lastly, section 5, dismissal of members. Okay? Recognized members seeking dismissal are encouraged to notify the elders so we understand the nature of that choice. Now, just to elaborate on this, when we were up in Cornerstone Spooner, when we were members there, there was a family there. They had been kind of a pillar in the church. He had led the youth group. They were very involved, all sorts of stuff. But they really felt that they had aging parents that attended a different church in the area, and they really felt, you know, in the last years of our parents' life, we want to worship with them. And what they did was they came before the leaders of the church and just said what was going on. And the leaders were able to have this family up there in front of church and just say, this is the reason why you won't see this family anymore, but they have our blessing. This is good. This is okay. Okay. If they had just disappeared, there would have been a lot of people wondering, why did they leave? Did I say something wrong? What happened? But this way, the church can say, no, you have our blessing to go do that. Do it well. And we did. We prayed a blessing over the family and sent them on their way. It was great. Recognized members who are deemed inactive will be contacted by an elder to discover the status of that member's commitment to this church. Those who want to wish to commit to the mission and life of this church will be removed from the church voting rolls. So all this is if you haven't been coming in a while, we're gonna just check up. Is everything okay? Maybe you have a great reason, that's fine, but we just need to know, are you a part of us? Are you still with us? Are you still doing what we're doing? If not, we can remove you. Lastly, members who are living in unrepentant sin will be subject to church discipline. I touched on this a little bit last week. Again, this shouldn't be a scary thing. Okay? If the reason for the church is to be holy, and this isn't talking about struggling with some sins. Okay? We all struggle with sins. But this is talking about unrepentant sin. Someone has gone before you and said, this isn't looking good in your life. And you say, well, God doesn't care. It doesn't matter. And maybe two people come up to you and say, this is unhealthy in your life, and you're unrepentant. No, it doesn't matter. Even, this is a long process, you guys. I've seen this before up in Spooner, other churches. This isn't just a quick, hasty thing we're kicking you out. This is a process of, the goal here is to bring you back to repentance and restoration. Okay, that's the goal. We want to see that, and we're willing to be patient and walk with you through that. If you're not, if you're choosing to rebel and not repent, you'll be subject to church discipline. What does that mean? It means you won't be able to take communion with us. It means you won't be able to vote on church issues. We might not recognize you as a member because you're not with us in unity in worshiping Jesus as King. Okay? This is for the health of the church and the health of the mission of Christ everywhere. Okay, how many people here have traveled out of the country? How many people here have flown out of the country? Okay, what do you need to fly out of the country?
An airport,
yes. Thank you, Bob. What else do you need? It's this little thing. Passport, right? How many of you guys have a passport? Okay, so I want us to be thinking about something as we're coming to a close here. What does my passport provide? Well, the U.S. passport, it gives affirmation in my citizenship to the United States of America, right? When I carry that, when I travel, people say, I need to see your passport. Oh, you're from Canada. No, you didn't read this right. I'm from America. Okay? It gives affirmation to where my citizenship lies. It gives me permission to travel and do things I wouldn't otherwise be able to do. Okay? We flew to Canada a couple years ago for to visit Leanne's brother. From New Jersey to British Columbia, we weren't going to drive that. We had to fly. Okay? The kids needed an actual passport book in order to fly. So we had to fork out a lot of money for that. But this is the permission to do that, to travel out, to fly out of country and to do that. Submitting under the authority of what my passport represents provides protection of the United States Constitution. Does this all make sense? This is,
yeah.
Okay. Membership in a local church is much like a passport. It gives affirmation in belonging to Jesus Christ. Again, this is a group of people that are saying, no, we've walked with this person, and best we can tell, they love Jesus, and they're walking with him. It gives permission to vote on church issues and to speak correction to others within the body. Okay? Can we speak in other Christians' lives? Yes, we can. But it's a heck of a lot easier when we're together in unity, having trust with one another, to speak on those deeper issues and to help us all pursue holiness. Okay? Submitting under the authority of a local church provides protection from living in sin, worldliness, and using your spiritual gifts in weird ways. We see this all throughout the New Testament. If you're under the protection and authority of the church, church leadership, and church membership, you'll find protection against these things. Okay, so these are some of the essential benefits to being a member of a local church. However, it's important to have a full view of Jesus' church. Let's look at his instructions to his disciples. We looked at this a few weeks ago as well when we were talking about community. But Jesus called the disciples to him and said, "You know that the rulers of the Gentiles lord it over them, and their great ones exercise authority over them. It shall not be so among you. But whoever would be great among you must be your servant, and whoever would be first among you must be your slave, even as the Son of Man came not to be served, but to serve, and to give his life as a ransom for many." What Jesus did was model servant leadership. He modeled what it meant to be a leader and also a servant to one another. Church membership is not like a country club. We don't join to be served, but to serve. We don't join to only love the lovable, but to love the unlovable too. Leanne and I were just talking about this last night. Doesn't it show love more when I can extend that love and servanthood to someone who might not deserve it? And that's a benefit of being part of a local church, is I can serve you in a way I would normally avoid. And it honors Christ because it's reflecting what he did. We are to pray, how can I best serve my church, not should I serve my church? I'll read that again. We are to pray, how can I best serve my church, not should I serve my church? Every member has a gift and function that serves the body. When each member serves, they will experience the joy of Christ. You're doing what he did. You're looking at the way he modeled and gave himself up, and we're following in those footsteps, and it's not out of duty that we do that. We experience joy when we do what Christ did. So just to end, practical questions to ask. And I'm not asking this to make anyone feel bad. These are just questions to ask. As members of a local church, how am I doing? Do I attend services regularly? Am I in unity and with the people I'm a part of? Do I attend communion regularly? That's the picture of us being unified. We're no longer Jew or Gentile, slave or free. We're all one in Christ because of the gift of the sacrament of communion. We do this to proclaim what Christ has done for us. Do I pray for my church regularly?
And do I give to my church regularly? Am I on board with what the church is doing? Do I believe in what we're doing as a unified people? Which people in your local church have needs you're capable of meeting? This is where the gifting comes in, right? In what ways are you serving your local church? And what fruit have you seen from that service? If we are doing what Jesus has, if he's given me a gift and I'm serving his church in a way, I should see fruit from that. I want to end here with a quote from Pastor Tom Rainer. And he says, church membership is a gift. We respond to gifts with gratitude. And one key way we express our gratitude is to serve like Jesus did and like he told us to do. Let's pray. Lord, we thank you that you are our servant king. We thank you that you modeled what it means to be a servant and a leader. And Lord, we see the unity, the love, the community between Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. And Lord, you have given us that gift in the local church to reflect that community, to reflect that love. Lord, I pray that Cornerstone Church St. Paul would do that well. You've given us the Holy Spirit in each believer here to love you, to obey you, to love your people, to serve your people. Lord, I pray that we would be one just as you and your Father are one. Lord, when times get tough, I pray that we would be a people quick to forgive, quick to love, quick to serve. Lord, I pray that above all, we would take holiness seriously. That we would be a church that does not tolerate sin, but wants to see people repent for your name's sake. Lord, help us to be obedient to your word and to find joy in what you've called us to do. In your name we pray. Amen.